But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life. Speak to us today. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you who I haven't had a chance to meet, my name is Michelle. I'm part of the team here at St. Peter the Fisherman, and we're continuing on in our Lenten season, Redemption Road. And this is an incredible story of redemption. I know it's one of the longest readings we've had in a long time. Peter was like, the gospel reading is very long today, Michelle. But I think it's in there because the way that Jesus reaches out to one woman changes an entire village. You hear the way he relates to her, an entire village by the end of the story comes to believe for themselves that Jesus is who he says he is. And I think there's something that we can all take away and learn about how we might share our faith in our communities and in our everyday lives. Did you know that Gen Z, now Gen Z, if you've heard that term before, that's kind of from my girl's age back there, right? You're like 16-year-olds, all the way up to the oldest side of being kind of your young professionals just out of college, kind of mid to late 20s. That's our Gen Z right now. They are the least religious generation in U.S. history. The least religious generation. So if they do a survey of where they fall, of I believe in this, I believe in that, or I have no beliefs, they are the highest ever in our U.S. history of marking I have no belief whatsoever. However, they are the most spiritually curious. And we're starting to see the fruit of that. If you look at church attendance and faith and where people identify over the past couple of decades, sad story is you will see a steady decline. Right? A steady decline. But in the last 5 years or so, really the last 3 years, we suddenly have seen a plateau. And where are we getting that plateau from? Even though Gen Z is the least religiously spiritual in identification, we've seen also the first documented increase in Christian commitment in U.S. history in the past 30 years, and it's all falling within their age group. So what's really interesting here is you have a generation that's saying, I don't know what I believe. I'm not just going to claim that I do believe in Jesus or I am Christian, but I want to find out if he's real and if it's worth it. So I think just like the disciples are given a challenge by Jesus, we as followers of Jesus, now as never before in U.S. history, and also leading up to Easter, because everyone's hearts are just a little bit more open around spiritually high times, I believe we can take this challenge. Look, the fields are ripe for harvest. There's a whole generation of people saying, I want to know if it's real. And we have an opportunity to join in harvesting some of that spiritually curious right now. But I want you to take a moment and be honest. When was the last time that you shared your faith with someone else? Just take a moment and think about it. And if you're coming up on empty, or you're like, I don't know, or there's some feelings rising up, I'll show you a couple more statistics. 94% of Christians in the United States believe that Jesus is the best news for absolutely everyone. I don't know what happened to the last 6%, but 94%. Right? Believe that Jesus is the best news and that someone coming to know Jesus would be the best thing that ever happened in their lives. However, up to 50% almost of those same Christians, depending on what generation you fall in, either don't think that they should be evangelizing or sharing their faith, or they don't know how, or they feel scared or fearful about doing it. So I think in this message today, the way that Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman, he gives us a pretty natural, gentle, and easy way for us to engage in this beautiful harvest that's happening right now. And so we're going to lean into how did Jesus share the good news of his reality and his kingdom with the message of the Samaritan woman. And the way he shared the good news and how it impacted the whole community, we can be sharing the good news in an everyday way and impact our entire community as well. First off, what do we see? Proximity. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out as he was by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. Now, there's so much to unpack there. First of all, let's talk about Samaria, where Jesus and his disciples had just traveled to. Samaria is the land between Judea and Galilee. And Jesus and his disciples were leaving Judea and going north to Galilee. Now, most practicing Jews, even though it was the most straightforward way to travel straight through Samaria. Almost all Jewish people decided to take the longer route around and cut out Samaria because they wanted to avoid it at all costs. Now, why would people want, and why would Jewish people want to avoid Samaria at all costs? Well, number one, it was like the high crime zone. If you remember the story that Jesus talked about, the Good Samaritan, what had happened? Somebody had been jumped on the road to Samaria because it was known for a place where bandits happen. So, you know, okay, we can identify with the Jews. We don't like to go through the high crime area sometimes at the wrong part of the day, the wrong part of the year. But the other reason that most Jews cut out Samaria is because there was historical displacement. There was fights over who really belonged to the land and who should have been settling there. Sound a little familiar, right? There was deep-seated racism. Jewish people would not use anything that a Samaritan even touched. So there's proximity already. The fact that Jesus is there sitting next to this woman. So Jews were really struggling with racism, and there was high spiritual rivalry. The Jews said, this is the way you worship God the right way, and the Samaritan said, no, this is the way you worship God the right way. So Jewish people would just say, I'm taking the longer way. I don't want to go anywhere near it. And it would just so you know kind of like the distance. It'd be like if you were driving from Sanford to New Smyrna Beach. Instead of taking I-4 straight up, you'd go, nope, can't face Deltona and I-4. I'm going to hit DeBary. I'm going to hit Orange City. I'm going to hit DeLand and go the long way around. That's kind of the distance. But remember, they're on foot. Jesus chose to go through Samaria. Why? Jesus' life and ministry was marked by radical hospitality. And in fact, if you lean into that word hospitality in the Greek, it actually means love of the stranger. His entire life was marked by showing radical love for the stranger, for the outsiders. He continually and intentionally brought the good news of the kingdom to the people and the places that the religious people thought should be excluded. And you know what? This poor Samaritan woman, she hit the jackpot on being excluded. First off, she was a woman, all right? Back in that day, women, you couldn't even listen to their testimony in court of law. It was considered not applicable. Men and women, even of the same family, sometimes wouldn't talk to each other in public because men thought that it would lower their status or look more morally shameful if they're speaking to a woman. So women, even if you were in the same family or the same racial or spiritual background, you were considered lower. So this woman, she's a woman, and she says that. She's like, why are you talking to me? You're a man and you're a Jew, right? And then she's a Samaritan, so I already told you about all that nasty backlash between the Jews and the Samaritans. But then also, she's an outsider in her own community. How do we know that? Well, Jesus talks about what's happened in her marital life down the road. But also, she's coming to the well at noon. All right, guys, we are the people of the beach, right? Do we go to the beach at 12 o'clock or 1? Generally, no, right? We know to get out there nice and early and then go back and like cool off a little bit and get back out there again when it's a little bit later. You don't go to the high heat moments in a place like Florida or a place like Samaria high noon. That's not smart, right? For your skin, for your health, for anything. But the reason why she's going out there is because she is so excluded from her own community because of her relational background, that she's going to the well when she thought nobody's going to be there, so she doesn't have to deal with the shame and hurt and pain from her background. Jesus specifically goes to Samaria, sits at the well, and gets close and talks to and starts a conversation with a woman to show there are no outsiders to this message of good news. There are no outsiders to the love of God. And guys, if our church is to be full, if we are to lean into some of that harvest that's happening everywhere right now, it takes us getting a little bit closer to people outside of this church in our everyday life. People that are different than us, maybe a different age to us, maybe a different race to us, from a different background, doesn't know anything to do with Christianity, or maybe seems hostile. We must get close intentionally to people outside these doors if we want to see these doors filled. I spoke to two bishops this week. My full-time job is to work with full denominations looking into how do we share the good news and how do we equip people people within churches to share the good news in a natural way. And both of the bishops said something to this effect to me. They said, you would be surprised how much churches expect that if they get a young couple with a couple of young kids, and look, Peter and I aren't even young anymore, guys, okay? Their churches will magically fill up with all of these young people. We've been here 3 years now. Hasn't magically filled up. Why? Because there is no magic recipe to share the good news. It takes all of us taking time to first off get a little bit closer, slow down, lift up our eyes from our to-do lists, lift up our eyes from our phones, and say, how can I brush up against and start conversation with someone new and someone different today? First step to sharing the good news, proximity. Second, what do we see? Jesus led with his humanity. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. All right, Jesus led with everyday, ordinary things. He didn't go, hello, you're a Samaritan, why do you worship here? No, she talks about all the religious stuff. He just says, I'm thirsty, could you give me a drink? Sometimes we can seem too put together for anyone to even want to have conversation with us, right? I know I am definitely the first one to blame with that. I'm busy. I'm dragging kids everywhere. I'm trying to do things. And I know I can give off an air that I am either too busy or I've got too much to do to stop and talk. But Jesus, he's the Son of God. He was able to turn water into wine, bread into stones, open blind eyes. You don't think he could have gotten a drink on his own if he wanted it? But he specifically sat in his humanity, in his need, and asked for help, showed humility, said, I could get something from you today. You could give me something. I'm going to give dignity on who you are. Could you please help me? So he led with his ordinary humanity, and his conversation was really natural, easy, and kind of humorous. Like, go back if you have time. It was a big chunk that we heard and read it through. They kind of banter back and forth with each other. She's like, why are you asking me for a drink? And he's like, well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. And she's like, you think you're greater than Jacob, right? And they're kind of going back and forth, and it's kind of a humorous, kind of just getting to know each other rapport. He didn't lead with the Ten Commandments, you know? He didn't say, come back to the temple with me and do all of the prayers the right way. He just has a natural, easy, humorous conversation. Now, I think sharing our faith often feels intimidating because we think we need something different, holy, perfect, theological to say, right? We think we might be lacking the right answers if someone asks something hard, or we might need training in seminary before we do it to engage with skeptics. But we have done a lot of research over the past couple of years, Pew Research, the State of the Church, Barna, Fuller, all these different institutes you can look up, leaning into what does it mean to share faith in an easy, natural way. The top things that people that would identify as atheists, non-Christians, or skeptics that they want if they're going to have a conversation about faith with a Christian, it's not theological training. It's not a sermon. It's not a walk through the Book of Common Prayer or different things. These are all important, right? But people that are not Christians yet, they want these top four things. Judgment-free listening. Okay. I mean, I talk a lot, but I can always close my mouth and listen a little bit more, right? Unforced conclusions. They want to talk about the things of God and say what they have questions about without kind of having their mind made up on the spot in one conversation. They want to see words matched by actions. Don't tell me about the fruit of the spirit of self-control if you blow up at your kid at the car door. You know? Is your good news really good news in the way that you live your life? And the top thing they want is they want to talk about it within personal relationship. They don't want to just have a box checked. I have shared my faith today. They want to know, are you interested in me? Do you want to become my friend? Can we have this conversation more than just once? So that means that people aren't looking for all the technical things that maybe make us feel like we have to opt out for sharing our faith. They just want someone who can demonstrate basic good human people skills, right? Someone who will get to know them, who will slow down, who will truly listen and show them the reality of the good news of Jesus in everyday lifestyle. So what do we see from Jesus here, the way he's interacting with a Samaritan woman? First, he gets close. He puts himself outside the church walls, outside the temple walls, outside all of the religious walls, and then he creates space for conversation. Again, put down our to-do lists, take a break, take a breath, be present, be real. It's okay if you mess up. Own your mistakes and just be natural. What else do we see? So we see his proximity. We see his humanity. We see his sensitivity. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I'm never thirsty or have to keep coming here." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and that one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you're a prophet." As Sophia would say, clocked her tea, you know? Like, uh-oh, what's just happened here? Now, why would I bring this verse out for sensitivity? Because if I'm honest, the first few times that I heard this story, it almost seems insensitive, right? The woman's leaning in. Jesus is drawing her in. She's interested in living waters. Why? Why did he have to bring up her past? Why did he have to bring up her shame? Why does he seem to like put his finger in it? First off, I believe that Jesus wants to show her that his offer of love, his offer of redemption, his offer of forgiveness is not dependent on what she has done, right? Jesus knew everything about her before he brought it up. And he was still taking time to talk to her, offering her living water, and saying, "Just ask of me." So I believe by Jesus bringing it up, it's not being insensitive. It's actually saying, it doesn't matter what you tell me about yourself. My welcome of you, my care for you, my offer of sharing how good this God is, I won't take it away because God loves us. Right? What did we hear in our Romans reading? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the beauty of salvation. That's the beauty of redemption. In fact, that is the good news. We don't have to clean ourselves up and then we receive salvation. While we're far away, Jesus welcomes us in and says, "You are forgiven. I want to know you and I want to share myself with you." So Jesus is sensitive to the pain and the shame and the way she would probably even exclude herself from the offer of eternal life. And he says, "I'm not going to flinch when I know who you truly are." He's sensitive to her, but he's also sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now listen, maybe none of us will ever have a word that clear from the Holy Spirit where we can say exactly what someone has done through the last five relationships they've had, right? I probably wouldn't want to know that, right? It'd be a lot of burden. But this is the kind of thing that often happens as we get close to people. We get close to people, they start opening up. And have you ever heard this line before in a conversation? "I don't know why I'm telling you this." Or, "I don't tell most people that." Don't just throw that away as coincidence or you're some great conversationalist. You might be some great conversationalist, but take time to acknowledge that is the beauty of the gospel coming out of you. You've been welcoming them and they're being drawn to the goodness in you, which is actually God inside of you, welcoming them. Those are the moments to lean in, to wait a bit longer, to say, "What question could I ask to open this person up a little bit more?" It's an amazing opportunity for us to show the extent of our commitment to who they are as a person, to learn to respond with kindness, not react in pride if they tell us something that we've never heard about, and to show them the true welcome of Jesus. Last week, I had coffee with a mental health therapist, and she also happens to be a Christian. And she said, "Michelle, my favorite part about my job is that as I'm listening to my clients, putting into practice everything I've learned," she's at all the school, and she's been practicing for decades, "I'm also internally listening to the Holy Spirit, praying and saying, how can I better ask him a question? What's the next thing that I can lean into?" We don't have to be mental health therapists to take those moments to bring our friends, our communities, our neighbors, the person we run into in Starbucks before the Lord and say, "How would you like me to connect with them today, Lord? Teach me. I want to listen to you." We can develop this spiritual practice of waiting, asking the Lord, "Who should I be talking to today?" and learning to recognize the still, small voice of the Lord prompting us to lean in, to linger a little bit longer, to remain silent at the right time, and to speak when we should. So we see the proximity that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman. We see his humanity. We see his sensitivity to her pain and also his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit listening at the right moments to dig into certain parts of her life story. And finally, beautiful, beautiful clarity. Jesus said to her, "The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him." And then she goes, okay, I know. one day the Messiah is coming, and he's going to explain all things. And then Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. First off, did you know that this is the first time in the Gospel of John where Jesus just clearly goes, by the way, spoiler alert, I'm the one you've been looking for. I am God. He doesn't just say I'm the door or I'm the gate or I'm whatever. Now, John gives us all of those things, and he speaks in metaphors a lot. But he chooses to this woman, this outsider, to not hold anything back, to not speak in riddles, to go, everything you've been looking for and hoping for, I'm him. Don't miss it. I don't want you to miss it. You can't get more clear than that. And once again, I think this is beautiful about the roots of our Christian faith. Jesus, who goes to outsiders like this and chooses to share himself for the first time clearly with a woman and an outsider. So beautiful what it tells us about how Jesus loves us and how Jesus is for the whole world. And what else happens? He's not drawn into debates about the history of the land. He's not drawn into debates about how to worship and the religious disagreements. What he says to her about when he says true worshipers worship in spirit and truth, he goes, salvation and righteousness with God isn't about where you worship or how you worship. It's about acknowledging the one true God is real and worshiping him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And by the way, he's right in front of you, right now. We can practice being that clear and that normal and making the most of every opportunity to share the good news of our faith. You'd be surprised how many times I hear people wrestling with how to share their faith. And when they talk about sharing their faith, they share where they go to church. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We want to welcome people into this building, but that's not sharing the good news of Jesus. That's sharing the name of the building that you worship at. That's a little bit more like, should we worship here or should we worship there? People just need to hear about why you worship Jesus, how good he is, what forgiveness is like. We can practice just being, taking moments to listen a little bit and sharing normally. This happened to me this week. I was walking through our neighborhood park with Zippy. Zippy is our 6-year-old, by the way. And she had twice already that week tried to bring up a conversation. And I had one of those moments where I was kind of dismissing her, right? She kept getting really upset about the fact that her friend in class was telling her that she was a God kid. And for some reason, this was frustrating Zippy. And she's going, she doesn't even know what a God kid is, Mom. And I don't think she reads the Bible. And I don't know if she goes to church. And my daddy's a priest. And all this stuff is happening. And the first time she brought it up, I was in that correction mode. I'm just like, don't say that. You don't want to say dad's like all this. And then she had brought it up again. So I was like, Zippy, did you take a moment to ask her, what does it mean that you're a God kid? Does she understand that? Did you ask her, have you heard about Jesus? Did you tell her about what you know about Jesus? Did you ask her questions? And Zippy's like, well, no. I'm like, it's good. Whether she understands what a God kid means or not, or whether she's ever gone to church or read the Bible, it's good that she's talking about God and wants to know more. You have an opportunity this week to have some more conversation with her. And so I started talking about what it means when we know that we're a follower of Jesus and what it means to say yes to Jesus and how you can just tell people that Jesus wants to be with everybody. And you can just say sorry for what you've done and say thank you for your forgiveness and invite him to live in your heart and fill you with the Holy Spirit. This is not all at once. I wasn't just, we were talking back and forth. And then we get halfway through the park and I'm midway through and you could ask her this and you could ask for this. And Zippy puts her hand on her heart and she goes, dear Jesus, forgive me for everything I've done wrong. I'm sorry for the cookie I stole. I'm sorry for the lies that I told. And she's going through all this list. And I'm like, oh, we hadn't said let's pray now. She just kind of like spontaneously. And then she went, thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you I can be with you forever. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Just like that. And I just turned to her and went, see, that's how easy it is to say yes to Jesus. And you just said yes to Jesus again. You know, we're raised our, like those of us who have raised our children or grandchildren in church, you know, they come into it, but it's a beautiful moment when they understand and they have that moment. She's like, well, I'm going to talk to Legacy on Monday. Legacy is this girl's name. But if it was that easy for Zippy to get, it can be that easy for us. We just got to take a moment to get near, be human, be sensitive to people's pain, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and just be clear. This is the good news of love. This is the good news of Jesus. You can have it too. Let's talk. So let's end with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your good news. We thank you for the way that while we were far away, you loved us and you invite us to come close. Lord, fill us afresh with boldness, love, with your Holy Spirit, so that we can be those beacons of light and hope and love. And we can see this community here in New Smyrna Beach say, I don't only believe because my friend believes, I believe now because I've met Jesus for myself as well. In your name, amen.